This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Real sports talk for real fans with real opinions. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
Obviously, after the baseball, I was furious. I actually was just telling Marco, I turned on the, we'll talk about it on the day we have more time to talk about it, maybe Friday, and I'll probably watch it all, the Billy Joel documentary on HBO. I don't know, I got to look and see how many parts they're going to have, but part one is released, part two is coming out on Friday. I don't know how many parts, but part one is 2 hours and like 40 minutes. It's just a two-parter? All right, well, I was going to say, it can't be too many. Part one was like 2.5 hours. But after the post-games and everything, I was prepping a little bit, but then I need to get my mind off it. So I watched like the first half hour of the Billy Joel documentary. Man, I had no idea some of the stuff. First half hour is like on his beginnings in the music career and his life, and he was, he tempted suicide and everything. It's crazy. I had no idea he was dealing with such serious issues early on in his life. Very fascinating. Thank God he didn't. Love me some Billy Joel. But obviously the troubles of the New York Yankees, the victory of the New York Mets, we didn't really get too much into it, but the Mets really rally and have a big-time performance. It's a good win against the Angels. That's a good win against the Angels team that I can tell you isn't very good, and they're around 500. But they did just beat Philadelphia 2 out of 3 in Philly. They have a 4-0 lead in this game. Kodai Senga has nothing to start. They got to go to the bullpen in the 4th inning, which has been an issue for this team consistently now, the innings from the rotation. The bullpen does a fantastic job from that point on. Beatty with a big 2-run home run that kind of feels like you help get back into the game. You get the big hit from Soto. Why the Angels just allowed Lindor to steal second base, I have no idea. I have no idea. And they didn't play a clean game either. They probably have Beatty out at third at home on the Mauricio grounder that ends up giving them the lead. They blow that play. Sloppy baseball all over the place. And I know, there he is defending the Yankees. Yeah, damn right. You got Lindor throwing the ball over the catcher's head when he had a runner out at home plate. Sloppy baseball all over the place. But the Mets do come through. Juan Soto with a big base hit up the middle to tie the game. They come through. Diaz in the 9th. And really the talking point of the game, obviously, is the return of Alvarez and the game he had and that big double the other way. And just the idea of how important, like when you look at this offense, how important Alvarez could be to this team, to this offense. He needs to improve defensively too. And Torrens has done a nice job, and he's incredible throwing runners out. If he's not the best in baseball, which I think he is, he's one of. I know Kirk is really good too. We saw all the numbers how good Kirk is behind the plate. with the Blue Jays. But Torrens has done a nice job. He is a backup catcher. Like, when he plays every day, I know he had a couple of hits the last couple of days, but when he plays every day, gets exposed offensively, they need Vientos. Like, and especially we'll get to not just the game, but what David Stearns had to say when he met the media. And let's be honest, they're going to go out and try and get some bullpen help. That's all it sounds like. Now, look, we have seen this before. It's not exactly the NFL draft necessarily, but this is a time of year that you got to take what these GMs say a little bit with a grain of sand. You have to understand that they don't want to go out there and show their needs. They're trying to work deals, but he's been pretty straightforward. Steve Cohen and David Stearns have been pretty damn straightforward. Mendoza been pretty damn straightforward about how they view things and how they're going to go handle things. And if you listen to David Stearns, he is comfortable with the situation at third and seeing the progress of Beatty. And obviously Beatty backs him up in a 2-run home run last night. But he's comfortable with that. And let's be fair, we have seen Vientos, you know, struggle this year. A little bit better going into the break. Had an RBI hit the other day. And we have seen him be a dynamic offensive force last year. That's hard to just give up on. That's hard to say, well, we'll never see that again. Like, that's how good Vientos was last year and then through the playoffs. So you do have Beatty, who does have a really nice-looking swing, who has had moments. He obviously kills minor league pitching. He's had some moments. He hits the home run in this game. But it sounds like David Stearns is not going to go be uber-aggressive at this trade deadline. Now, is that even possible? Is this deadline even a deadline you could go be aggressive and get what you need? Can they get a third baseman? Can they get an outfielder? You talked about being comfortable with Jeff McNeil in center field. Like, I don't know if a bat is coming. Period. And if that's the case, and again, we'll find out. And as we get closer to it, we'll start to, you know, sprinkle in some segments where we go over the different guys who they could be targeting. A lot more noise around the Yankees right now than the Mets with those kind of names. But we can go through wish lists and who you want and who I think makes sense for the New York Mets and Yankees. But ultimately, listening to Stearns yesterday, you would think that they're not going to be that aggressive, particularly with bats at the trade deadline. And if that's the case, Alvarez coming back up after hitting 11 home runs in the minor leagues and absolutely killing it, gaining some confidence. And I think that's all it's about. I don't think you go down there for however long he was down there for, a couple weeks, and retool everything. Maybe you make an adjustment here or there. I'm not saying you don't go down there and do, but it's about seeing the ball leave the ballpark. It's about seeing the success, even if it is against minor league pitching, right? It's the same thing of the longest yard or anything else. You know, you want to beat up on an opponent, beat up on a lesser opponent and feel good about yourself in the big game. So to go down to AAA, gain that confidence, see the success, 11 home runs, he comes up, boom, first game, a couple of hits, big double off the wall that, yeah, probably should have been caught, but off the wall, and suddenly maybe you can get him going. I mean, this was the top prospect in all of baseball. This is a guy you were relying on. He was someone when first came up and great defensively after hearing he wasn't, that was his issue, and it's become his issue. But when he first came up, defense was good. Offense was great. 26 home runs, whatever it was. You expected him to be a big force for you in the middle of the lineup, and he's been terrible this year. And if you could get him to come up and play the way he's capable of playing, and what we saw at times and what we saw in the minor leagues or whatever, or what we saw last night, if he could be that guy and you mix in just a close facsimile of what Vientos was last year, that could solve a lot of your problems as far as the offense goes. And then the other thing you saw from last night that could really help this offense is Juan Soto coming through with runners in scoring position, which you know is going to happen eventually. It's not going to be all year where he struggles with it, but it's already 100 games in and we haven't seen it. So last night, to see Alvarez come through, to see Juan Soto get the big hit, to see the bullpen, much maligned bullpen at the moment, go, you know, six innings after Senga is only able to give you three.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Come back, rally back from being down four runs. That's a really good win for the Mets last night in almost every way, shape, and form. Everything you were looking for in that game, you got. You're looking for Alvarez. You're looking to prove, have the bullpen prove something to you. You're looking for Juan Soto to come through. Lindor with a big stolen base that leads to the tying run. At least, you know, he's kind of been really in a tough stretch for him. A lot of positives in the Met game last night. Beatty with a big home run. You're trying to establish third base. Trying to establish third base. Mauricio with a putting the ball in play, hitting it hard to third base leads to a run. Trying to establish third base. You're trying to establish a couple more bats because it sounds like they're not coming. And you're hoping that bullpen with the addition of, you know, Brooks Raley and hopefully Reed, Garrett, and Brazoban getting back to themselves. We got Budo coming back shortly. And, you know, you might address that in the trade deadline a little bit if you can get some bullpen arms. And you got to find a lot of answers from within with this team. And last night went a little bit towards that as they got a good win, two in a row now against the Angels, looking to take a series later tonight. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll take your Met calls, your Yankee calls. I'll give you a little Giants thing that I found interesting as we get ready for football to return. It's all on the table. It's all right there in front of us. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Jason in Waterbury. What's up, Jason?
Hey, what's going on, Chris?
What's up, buddy?
Not much. Tough night, man. Hey, listen, you know, if you're the Mets, you know, you have to go out and get a center fielder. And you know, when the playoffs come, you could have, you know, Mauricio come off the bench and Acuna, but, you know, best thing for them is to have McNeil play second base in October and get Luis Robert in here, please. I mean, I know he's having a tough year, but he needs to change scenery. And
yeah,
with the Yankees, I mean, this is the worst left side. Yeah, you might be right. This is the worst left side of the infield I've seen. And, you know, everybody's crazy about Suarez, but I think McMahon would be a perfect fit at third base. And, if, you know, if they can't go out and get McMahon, you know, they have to get McMahon in here, and I don't know what they're going to do with Volpe. I mean, this guy is struggling badly. I think they need to sit him for a couple days. I know he had the couple home run night in Atlanta on Saturday, but
that's
this
the
guy's
issue.
Been dreadful.
I know,
he's awful.
He's finally coming around offensively.
Yeah, but the problem is, I mean, Cashman, he's ready to go to bat for that kid all the time. Sherman pushed him over the edge almost. And I think Meredith, I'm not going to say she does it on purpose, but I think she asked Boone this stuff on purpose to see if he's going to finally turn negative on Volpe. And no. He gives her that look all the time. She's asking him legitimate questions
Absolutely.
About Volpe.
I agree.
That guy's been terrible. They need to stop sticking up for him and stop coddling him, because I know it's Cashman's baby and he wouldn't go out and get a shortstop a couple years ago. It's pathetic. It's enough is enough. I mean, how could you keep insulting the intelligence of the Yankee fan? It's pathetic.
I mean, I don't disagree, but again, if I thought being hard on him would get him to play better, I would do. I don't think that. I really don't think that matters. I honestly don't. I agree with you on the insulting the intelligence of the Yankee fan part of it. That I agree with. And again, we've seen it before. Right now, we watched the Angels game last night. Joe Adell was a top prospect in all of baseball. He's been an absolute bust for the first couple of years of his career, and now he's got an 860 OPS, and he's got 20 home runs, and he's having a nice season. Now, he's a much more physical specimen than Anthony Volpe is, but these guys do take some time. So, like, when you say enough is enough defending him, I don't think that we know what kind of player Anthony Volpe is going to be forever. You might think you do. I don't know if we know that just yet. He's still only 24 years old. I know he's had a lot of bats at the major league level, but he had almost none at the AAA level. And that's not to defend him, because it's not good enough for the New York Yankees. I'm fully on board, and I said this. As of right now, season ends today. I need a new shortstop next year. I'm with you. But he had the two home runs. You were hoping he could start build something offensively. I don't want to sit him now. Even off that one error, it's a killer error. But again, the Peraza error bothers me a hell of a lot more. And let's be honest, the Yankees lose the game whether Anthony Volpe made that play or not. Now, that's not excusing it. It's a terrible play. And I hate the insulting of the intelligence. I agree with you. I agree with you. Now, again, you don't have to go out there and be critical of him. You don't. I was just talking about this with Marco. I said in my open, just say, this is a young man who's been a Gold Glove Award winner and an excellent defensive shortstop. And I think starting tomorrow, I have no reason not to believe that starting tomorrow, that will continue yet again. But as of right now, it's not good enough, and he's got to figure out a way to be better. That's okay to say. Like, I don't know. And again, does it make him better if he said that? Like, that's my only question to you. Like, honestly, if... Three choices, right? Let's go with what they give you now. Hey, he's still elite. He's still a great defensive shortstop. Everything is fine. Choice B, he was a great shortstop. I have every confidence that he will be again. Right now, he's struggling. And then choice C, I'm really concerned about Anthony Volpe, or Anthony just hasn't been good enough. And I don't know what the problem is, but I don't know how long we can go with him playing shortstop. Which do you honestly believe? And you could tell me, call me up, 888-808-1019, or whatever your definition of being critical of Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe just isn't good enough right now, and, you know, I don't see how it can continue. Our shortstop can't be this bad defensively. The New York Yankee shortstop cannot continue to lead the American League in errors, or whatever you want him to say. Which one of those three statements... Like, again, do you think any of those three statements make a difference in how Anthony Volpe performs? Do you think if he says choice C, that Anthony Volpe stops making errors? Do you think Anthony Volpe is making errors because he doesn't care, because the manager is okay with it? Do we honestly believe that? And I know there's been some sloppy play. I think a lot of it is because the team is filled with sloppy defenders. Now, this year, I'll give you, I feel like they're better defensively, and we're still seeing it. And I've said before, there's a bit of a laissez-faire attitude when they struggle that we're the Yankees, will be okay. We're the Yankees, will be okay. I think that's part. I think that's a fair criticism of Boone. Now, ultimately, almost every year, that statement turns out to be correct. Now, they don't win a championship, but they put themselves in a position to win a championship. They win a division. They make it to the playoffs. They're in the ALCS. And again, I've challenged this guy on Twitter who keeps coming at me with this Aaron Boone stuff. Yes, you could point to the World Series, and I've said it on the air. You can point to the World Series, and you could tell me the Torres play, which, again, Torres isn't a good defender. But The Torres play leads to the game-tying run and the sacrifice fly in game one, which leads to the extra innings. Blah, blah. They did have a lead after that play, but then Freddie Freeman hits the home run, right? So you want to point to that play, and then obviously the fifth inning, which again starts with Aaron Judge, one of their better defenders, dropping a baseball. You want to say that sloppy play that the manager has perpetrated on them? Okay, okay. Judge dropped a ball. He won't do that again in 1,000 tries, but he did in that moment. Other than that, if this has been a continual problem with the New York Yankees, and it's the same reason, because I've heard a lot of people say this, and I don't know if it's calling him out, but I've heard Sal say this, that it's the same thing over and over again with the Yankees, and we see the same things that always cost them in the postseason. Give me another example in the postseason outside of the World Series, in all the years with Aaron Boone, that sloppiness is the reason they lost. That bad base running is the reason they lost. That defensive deficiency or not taking the extra base or throwing to the wrong base or no one covering second base. Give me another example where in all these years of Aaron Boone, they have lost the postseason because of quote-unquote sloppy baseball. Because I don't remember it. I don't remember the big key error that killed them. I don't remember the moment, like, you know, again, Harrison Bader dropped the ball in 2020 and then in 2022, rather, their best defender, Bader, who's one of the great defensive short center fielders in the league, or at least was at the time, dropped the ball and then Cole gave up a two-run home run, but that was game three when they were already losing that series 2-0. You want to point to that moment? Because I can give you, under Joe Torre, Chuck Knobloch lost the game just staring at the ball. I can give you 2005 against the Angels, Bubba Crosby and Gary Sheffield running into each other and having no communication in the outfield. I can give you not stealing a base against Varitek when he had no real chance of catching Tim Wakefield. Like, I can give you sloppy play from every Yankee team. Like, and watching baseball today, I watched the Met game last night. I watched the Met game against the Cincinnati Reds. I see bad fundamentals from both teams in every game. Every game. I can give you bad fundamentals. Last night, Lindor airmails one over the head of the catcher with an absolute opportunity to make a play at the plate. Third baseman Rengifo, I believe, was playing third base for the Angels last night. Makes a bad throw to Ohapi when they have Beatty dead at the plate. The other day, Mauricio not making a double play. Obviously Torrens throwing the ball down the right field line. It's a problem for the New York Yankees without question. It's a problem for Major League Baseball. Ross in Bergen County. What's up, Ross?
Hey, Mac. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for taking my call. So, you know, it's kind of ironic now that you look at the state of the AL, right? And you and Keith, everybody, in terms of the Yankee calls, how many times you hear, oh, they're not better than the Astros, they're not better than, you name it, the Rays for a lot of years, not kind of really the last few, but even Cleveland last year, a lot of people were saying, oh, you know, Cleveland's better than them. And it kind of felt like Detroit was getting that treatment, too, even this year. By the way, you know, on that note, Detroit losing 7 out of their last 8 between, you know, post and pre-All-Star break. You don't hear that. And the one game they won, actually, they tried their best to DeGrom, Tarik Skubal. I don't even think he got the win. He went like 7 innings, 11 Ks. He didn't even get the win. They tried their best to lose that game, too. You don't hear that, though, about the Tigers when they're losing.
You don't hear much about the Dodgers. Now, they just won a championship. You don't hear much about the Dodgers getting swept by Milwaukee. You don't hear much about that stuff.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, it's just I'm guilty. I'm a Met fan. I'm calling that the eggs. I'm guilty of it with the Mets.
We focus on our teams, and I understand why. But if you honestly, and this isn't to just make excuses, because it's not. Yeah. The Yankees need to be cleaner. The Mets need to be cleaner. But absolutely. You got to play clean baseball, and it's been a problem for the New York Yankees. I'm not trying to take that away. All I'm saying is I watch a lot of baseball. I have the package. Yeah. I watch West Coast games. Yeah. I watch a ton of baseball. I was just in Philadelphia. They had second and third, nobody out, and had at the end of a ground ball to first, there was a runner on second with two outs. Like, I watch a lot of baseball. We see more sloppy play now than we have ever seen before, and it's all across baseball.
Oh, my God, there's teams that have it worse than us. I'm right there with you. I was watching the Houston-Arizona before, they were talking about postgame. They had a stat. Arizona had 7 batters walk in the game, and not one of them came in to score. And that's a team that we're talking about is like the face of this deadline. Whether or not they buy or buy Stampat or sell is going to determine the entire market for everybody else. You know, Suarez hitting a homer every other at-bat. You got Nandler's got some pretty good pop. And they're not a bad team is why it's such a question mark. Is because that's that roster stack and the way they lose games. You're a D-backs fan. It's infuriating. We're, you know, what we have here, these two teams, we should almost be grateful. And it's not like we're going undefeated either. And I think with your guys' case, at least, what's kind of the insult to injury is how the other better teams in the AL, while you guys got Volpe and Peraza, obviously are giving you nothing with the bat. And you know, Volpe's case somewhat, Peraza's case, like you were saying, you almost don't expect it anymore. There's still, at least in Peraza's case, like you said, he's only there for the glove. So when they're flat out not only not performing, they're losing you games with the glove now. Meanwhile, you got Boston, like their whole lineup, you know, during the winning streak, they're on Roman Anthony's mashing, Willie Abreu. I mean, their lineup's really young. You got Houston. It seems like every prospect they call up just fills the spot right in for when they lose Bregman and Correa. Like, you don't see that with the teams here. And that's what keeps teams like Houston afloat completely. Boston, like every year, like 1 out of 8 years, they'll have a hiccup. But for the most part, they're always consistent. And, you know, you guys are right there too, but you don't have the advantage of calling up the prospects. And it feels like every other, and even obviously Tampa's like the epitome of it. They just funk these guys out of nowhere. They're like mid-20s and they're having all-star rookie seasons. But it feels like every other franchise, at least speaking on the AL, they have the advantage of these prospects. They call up and start, you know, being effective right away. And in your guys' case, it's the furthest thing from it. So obviously that's kind of the one thing.
I don't know, right? I wouldn't say, again, now the baby bombers is where I disagree with you. As of late, I suppose that's true. I'm trying to think of prospects that came up. I mean, they did have, last year they had the winner and the second runner-up. So out of the 3 Rookie of the Year candidates, they had the winner and the third finisher with Luis Gil and Austin Wells. So, I mean, that's prospects who came up and played fairly well. Dominguez is playing fairly well right now. I mean, he's 0 for his last 18, but prior to that, he was on a real heater. And again, the baby bombers came up, and the Yankees had a rookie come up and take the league by storm 3 years in a row. 2016, Gary Sanchez came up and hit 20 home runs in 55 games and was an absolute force. 2017, Aaron Judge hits 50 home runs. 2018, Andujar leads the team in extra base hits, comes in second Rookie of the Year. Gleyber Torres comes up. He's an all-star. Like 3 years running, they had guys come up and immediately, even in 15, Greg Bird comes up, and he's one of their better hitters down the stretch and gets a base hit, gets one of 2 hits against Keuchel in the wild card game. Like, and that's lefty versus lefty. They've had guys come up and hit. The problem is they don't sustain other than Judge. That's the problem. Gleyber Torres didn't become what we hoped he'd become. He had a couple of good years, was an all-star in 18 and 19. They moved him to shortstop, didn't help his progression, absolutely. And then he had half seasons. He had 2023, he was their best hitter when Judge was hurt. You look at 2023, Gleyber Torres had a really good year. You look at 2024, he had a really good second half and was really good for them in the playoffs as the leadoff hitter. So he had moments for them. Like the idea that now, oh, look, Gleyber's an all-star in Detroit. How come the Yankees couldn't get that out of him? The Yankees got it out of him in 2018, 2019, 2023, and half of 2024. So they got it for more than half of his Yankee career. But there was the other little bit less than half where he wasn't very good at all. And we'll see if he's going to be good wherever he is. He probably won't be with Detroit next year because he'll sign and he's only a 1-year deal. We'll see where he goes in free agency. Maybe he'll come back to the Yankees. Mike in Westchester. What's up, Mike?
What's up, C-Mac?
What's going on with that? How are you?
I'm good, thanks. First of all, I just wanted to say, to answer your question before about Volpe and what, you know, how he would stop making errors. Mm-hmm. I think the only way you would stop making errors is if you DFA him. So that's not going to happen.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think, as much as I'll tell you that Aaron Boone is saying stuff that I know isn't true, and it is insulting the intelligence of the fan base, I don't think I don't think it would fix Anthony Volpe if he did something different. I don't think it's hurting Anthony Volpe with what he says. I think Anthony Volpe is what Anthony Volpe is. And Marco just floated something too. Could it be a little bit of mind games? I don't know. Could it be a media thing where I'm not, you know, maybe people aren't yelling about Anthony Volpe. We're yelling about what the manager says. And now the heat is on Boone instead of Anthony Volpe. Could it be that kind of Jedi mind trick where Aaron Boone is purposely saying these things, knowing that people are going to get on him instead of Anthony Volpe? I probably even me, the Aaron Boone defender, probably wouldn't give him that much credit. I think he just thinks that he has to defend his guys.
Agreed. I think Volpe and Peraza have been a complete disappointment. But anyway, my main point is I had a question for you.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, the deadline's coming up. Would you move Spencer Jones?
Yes. I mean, do I want to? No. But is he off the table? No, he's not off the table. I would move him for the right deal. I have to be getting a talented player for years of control, or at least a little bit of control. I can't do it for a rental. I can't do it for Suarez. I can't do it for even Suarez and Merrill Kelly. Like, I need control from someone. I need a couple of years control. Like, if they really believe Keller is an excellent starting pitcher out in Pittsburgh, and they believe that they can make him better, which they have shown with a couple of pitchers, you know, throughout the last couple of years, they have shown it quite often, actually. And he's got this year and then another three. And if you're going to tell me he's the third best starter on the team or the second best starter on the team moving forward, yeah, okay, I'm willing to move him. I'm not opposed to moving Spencer Jones, but it has to be in the right deal. It has to be an aggressive, bring players back who are going to impact the team for the next couple of years. That I would do, but no, not for rentals. But I don't think
the only reason I agree, and you know, over the years, Cashman, you know, sometimes he overvalues his prospects. You know, you look back and do our Frazier, Davey Garcia. You know,
well, those guys
are too long.
I mean, well, some of them are just. And again, I don't want to. I'm not trying to make this about Brian Cashman and defending him, because I don't disagree with your point. That has definitely happened. I think Ann Duhar is a good example of that. Clint Frazier, maybe. I mean, they tried to give Clint Frazier the left field job. Like, it's not like they. And then he got hurt and he had concussions. And then you mentioned Devi Garcia. They brought up Devi Garcia. He pitched well down the stretch of the 2020 season. They should have allowed him just to either start or, you know, let Jay Happ start in game two. That was a debacle. But then he pitched terribly in spring training. He didn't earn a job out of the next year out of spring training. And then he was almost terrible every other day of his minor league career. Like, it's not like he was flourishing, pitching excellent in the minors, and they just never gave him a chance, and then eventually he washed out. He was, like, never good again. Look at his numbers. He came up at the end of 2020 in that short 60-game season, pitched huge games for them, absolutely big games for them, and then was never good again. So, like, some of them were a little unfair about it. Just because you know the name doesn't mean that they let him waste away. Just because he had a couple moments doesn't mean they handled it that wrong. Like, Devi Garcia never did anything ever again. And Duhar, they had Gio Urshela, so it made it complicated, but they still kind of believed in him. You could have moved him off of that rookie season once you got Gio Urshela. Like, he has that rookie season. It's really good. He gets hurt. They have to go out and pay for Gio Urshela. Gio Urshela has an incredible season in 2019, and he's great defensively. So, yeah, now he becomes expendable. Maybe you move him. There's no doubt. There is a couple of examples of that, so I'm not trying to make this a defend Brian Cashman show, but some of them are just unfair. Like, Devi Garcia, to me, is unfair. He never really had great value. I mean, what are you supposed to do? Like, he pitches great down the stretch and then just immediately trade him? Because if people would have done that, we would have all been pissed off. Like, what are you trading Devi Garcia for? He was great for them down the stretch. He could be the next ace of the staff, blah, blah, blah. But how are you supposed to know? And then he went down to the minor leagues and sucked forever. But there is an element to that absolutely being the case. There's no doubt. Peraza is another good example of it. Absolutely. Not that he ever had great value, but before he really fell off the cliff, you could have got something for him. Now he has no value. Wally in Oceanport. What's up, Wally?
Hey, what's up? I'll be back. My issue a little bit is you're a little harsh on Volpe, okay? So last night, like, mm-hmm. he has a very nice game, and he's a young kid. But I think you're a little too magnanimous with when it comes to Brian Cashman and Boone. I mean, like, you know, you're willing to, like, give them, like, you know, kudos, but those guys are, like, you know, neither one is getting fired in the next 5 years or whatever.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that at all.
Oh, and me? I really? Yeah. I mean, like, you know.
I think if they miss the playoffs, there's a really good chance Aaron Boone gets fired.
I mean, like, you're talking about a little Del Barton kid, Anthony Volpe, okay?
Yeah.
Who happened to be an all-star, okay? Shortstop. Okay. And now all of a sudden you're busting him after yesterday, okay? They wouldn't have won the game. And it's like he was an all-star.
He was never an all-star.
Oh, no, he was Gold Glove.
Yes.
I'd be like, okay, so he was Gold Glove.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to, you know, I mean.
No, I don't know what you mean, and I'm not sure you do either, to be totally honest with you. I appreciate he's from Del Barton, and I'm sure you're a fan, and maybe you're from the area and know his family. And I get it. I'm not trying to start a fight with the Volpes. I appreciate them, man. And I get crap all the time. Go look at my stuff on that the website puts out. I've defended Anthony Volpe. I got a million people tweeting me every time he makes an error. This is your boy, McMonagle. I've defended him when he was hitting when he had a 767 OPS. I defended him. When he was hitting fifth against left-handed pitching and everybody was crying, I said, look, he's got 1,000 OPS against left-handed pitching. I defended him. This era and what we've seen from him defensively this year is just not defensible. The manager can try and do it. I don't have to. Like, I watch what I watch. The first 60 games of the year, Anthony Volpe was trending into having a very nice season. Not a great season, not an all-star season, probably not even as good as we'd like, but a nice little season. That hopefully could have been a building block to next year. Now he's not. Now he's hit about 140 for the last month, and he's made critical error after critical error. I'm not trying, and I'm magnanimous about Aaron Boone and I. They went to the World Series last year. And by the way, Anthony Volpe performed in the postseason and hit a grand slam in the World Series. And I've brought that up time and time again to defend Anthony Volpe. But again, I find it funny when Yankee fans are like, same crap over and over and over again. They went to the World Series last year. Oh, but that was easy. I know that was easy. This is tough. The regular season, it's too tough for them. But the playoffs, that was an easy run to the World Series. Stop it, Chris. Don't make anything of beating Kansas City and Cleveland. Never mind that they won playoff series to earn their spots there. Never mind. Who cares? They beat the Astros and they beat Detroit and they beat Baltimore, who everybody thought was better than the Yankees. Fine, whatever. So it doesn't count when you beat Kansas City and you beat Cleveland. I get it. I know. It doesn't matter. Those games don't matter. Going 8-2 in 10 American League playoff games, meaningless. This Toronto series game tells you everything you need to know. And again, it's the same crap over and over again. They were in the World Series last year. Oh, they're not making the playoffs. I heard that all of last year. This team don't have it, Chris. Telling you right now, they don't have it. They're gonna blow this division out. They'd be lucky to even make the playoffs. Then they go to the World Series, and it's like, well, that was easy. Really? Because in July, you told me they weren't good enough to make the playoffs. Not only were they, you know, not good enough to win in the playoffs, they weren't good enough to be there. And then they went through it like a hot knife through butter in the American League, and that doesn't matter. That was easy. It's hypocrisy at its highest level.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God!
Full scheme.
Struck him out with 102!
Laser beam! Baby, this is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah! Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Boom, boom. All right, 346. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Obviously, a lot of baseball. Mets with a good win, come from behind, and the Yankees, obviously, with a disastrous loss. But again, a little bit of positivity as we end, get closer to the end of the show. Still an opportunity to go win the series. It's one game. We all felt the same way after Friday night. The Yankees turned around and won the next two games. Now, I know Atlanta's different than Toronto right now. Toronto's been one of the hottest teams in all of baseball, and they have absolutely owned the New York Yankees. But you got Scherzer on the mound. Go out there and pound Max Scherzer. Score a bunch of runs, give Cam Schlittler a chance to go out there and just be himself and not have to do too much. Throw, you know, hopefully 100 miles an hour still, even with the arm fatigue or whatever he was dealing with. And then you got Max Fried on the mound on Wednesday in the finale. And hopefully, even with the blister and the time off, he can go give you a big-time performance like he's done all year. So, still a chance to go out there and win the series. We'll feel a lot better if they do. Last night was more about the offense than even the errors and Volpe and Peraza. And again, I thought it was a good performance from Rodon. Not a great performance, not what you were, you know, not as good as I would have liked to have seen. But the idea of anybody who thinks this fell into the normal category of Rodon spitting the bit against, you know, in the biggest of games, I don't know how you see it that way. Yeah, he walked five guys. One of them came around to score. He pitched out of almost every jam, and he should have gotten out of the fifth with a pitch count low enough to possibly go out there and start the sixth with only two runs. And someone tweeted at me, if a starting pitcher goes five innings and only gives up two runs, the team has a 635 winning percentage, which would be on pace for about 109 wins. Now, I'm not saying it's ace, but I'm saying most of the time, a lot of the time, that's a winning performance from a starting pitcher. He was in jam after jam. He had his defense let him down after his defense let him down, and he still went out there and battled. I thought it was a positive performance in the area of Rodon in big games. Honestly, I did. I thought it was a positive performance. He didn't let the game get too big for him. He got out of jams. Again, I go back to Francesa after the Met game, called him the anti-Pettit. This was very much an Andy Pettit type game. Now, Andy Pettit goes deeper into the game, but you know what? Derek Jeter doesn't throw the ball away. Scott Brosius doesn't throw the ball away. Alex Rodriguez doesn't throw the ball away. That was a very much an Andy Pettit, put guys on, pitch around guys, don't give in, get the double play, get out of the jam. That was a very much Andy Pettit-type performance from Rodon last night. Not dominant, not his best. But he pitched well enough to keep the Yankees in the game. I thought that was a somewhat positive for Rodon in the big game. That box we're always looking to check. Can you trust Rodon in a big game? I thought that it wasn't great. I'm not going to immediately go, yep, check, great, big one, big win for Rodon. But it certainly wasn't a loss, and I think I feel better about him in big games, not by a lot, but not like I would go in there confident next time in a big game. But I think it was an overall positive from Carlos Rodon. Not enough from the offense, and his defense let him down. Let's go to Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Another annoying loss.
Yes, sir.
Chris.
Yes.
When are we going to get some players that can field and not throw the ball all over the place? I mean, really.
Well, I mean, Peraza.
Peraza's been great in the field. Yeah, okay. He has a good arm. Okay. But so you have a, like you said yesterday, this is the biggest game of the year.
It was.
Am I correct?
And now tonight is the biggest game of the year, yeah.
Enough already with the biggest game of the year. When are they going to start? When are they going to wake up and start hitting like they're capable of hitting? When?
I don't know.
I mean, last
Saturday when they scored. Yeah, I mean, they have. Are you going to call Gausman a top pitcher? Because they have pounded Gausman throughout the last couple of years. Pounded him.
I'm talking not about Gausman.
Well, he's the one who shut them down last night.
What?
He's the one who shut them down last night.
Yeah, they keep getting shut down at the most inopportune times when they have a chance to make up ground.
It happens. They would have lost ground if they didn't score 12 runs on Saturday. Like, you know, there's never a good time to go scoreless.
No, there's never an in between.
There is an in between. Like, come on, guys. Like, the offense has scored a lot of runs. Now, you want to say last night was a disappointing offensive? Yeah. But, like, when is the offense going to wake up? They just had a consecutive game streak of 5 runs, and they did it against Seattle. Yeah, one of the Woo shut them down for 7 innings, or 6 innings, and then they no hit, and then they 7 innings, and they came back in the 8th and beat a closer who's very good for Seattle. But they also pounded Logan Gilbert. He's one of the better pitchers in baseball when healthy. Like, they had how many games in a row scoring 5 runs? 6? When they swept, when they took care of the Mets and then the last game of that series and then swept the Mariners? Like, last night wasn't a good offensive night. But again, they just scored a bunch of runs the other day. They scored 12 to come back when they were down 5-0 and 7-2. Stanton seems to be getting it together, which is a huge part of this team. Volpe, you know, up until the throwing error was building towards something you had thought. He had a big game on Saturday night with the 2 home runs that helped them win that game. Bellinger's been great all year. Grisham hits the grand slam. They have a bunch of guys, like, I was just looking at it because I was talking, you know, somebody was accusing me of using stats or whatever. I don't even want to get into that. But look at the OPS. From the Yankees, again, the best OPS in baseball belongs to the New York Yankees. Aaron Judge, 1.1. Grisham, 800. 837. Bellinger, 824. Stanton, 888. Ben Rice, 795. Paul Goldschmidt, 778. Jason Dominguez, 727. That is 7 batters who have an above-average OPS. They lead the American League in runs scored behind the Dodgers and the Cubs. They have the best OPS in the entire sport. And they have beat good pitchers along the way. Believe it or not, they have. They beat Wandy Peralta, game 1 of the season. If you're going to use last night as when are they going to hit good pitching, they have hit Gausman well over the last couple years. Like, they've hit, and this year, I believe they did hit Gausman well earlier in the year at Yankee Stadium. It's last night, the offense was bad. It went through a 2-week stretch, a week and a half stretch where it was god-awful. But overall, the offense, for the most part, has been pretty consistent, and especially since the final game of the Mets series. John in Maspeth. What's up, John?
C-Mac, good morning.
Good morning, sir. What's going on?
Yeah, so once about David Robertson, and what he did was pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, he signed a We just signed a deal, prorated $16 million. It's going to pay him $6.2 million over 63 games, right?
Yep.
And, you know, he's a little bit up there in age. What is he, like 38 perhaps, right?
I think
now,
he's 40.
40, right?
Yep.
Now, can this potentially be the start of, like, a new trend where we see these relievers that are up there in age who might not, you know, get big offers in free agency in the winter? Because let's be honest, he probably only got about a $6 to $8 million offer in free agency.
Right.
Now, if he holds out until the time he just did,
mm-hmm.
when teams are desperate for bullpen help, because let's face it, every team that wants to buy will be most likely buying someone in the bullpen, and it's much cheaper to just shell out money than some of your top prospects.
Yeah.
And in return, in David Robertson's eyes, you know, he only has to work 60-something games, you know, not show up to spring training, not play the first 100 games. He's right. only got to go out there for 60 games, pitch 20 innings, preserve his body. And if he plays well, he can just do the same thing next year where he can go bank $5 or $6 million over 60 games instead of play for, you know, $6 million over a full season and spring training.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I don't know what he got offered. It certainly wasn't $16 million. You're right. The $6 million he's making now is closer to probably what he got offered than the 16, that's for sure. I don't know what it is. I don't know how much he got offered. But, yeah, it's an interesting concept. Again, it's a unique thing. David Robertson still pitched well last year. That's the thing. At his age, people were probably hesitant. But and I don't know what he looked like in the workout. So you got to be able to look good in the workout where enough teams are competing. And then there was a report, I think John Heyman put it out there, that he actually had a tentative agreement with a different team than Philadelphia and then ended up signing with Philadelphia when they gave a little bit more money. So, like, you have to go have the workouts. You got to be able to perform. You have to have some level of success the year before, but old enough where teams are hesitant to give you the money you're looking for in free agency. So I don't think it's as easy as, oh, yeah, we'll see this all the time now. But I do think it's an interesting concept where maybe you could see some older relievers or just relievers in general who are unhappy with their contract think, hey, I could have some time off, work hard, and then get to really pick a spot, and it's most likely going to be a contender. Like, you could sign with a team in April, and there's the other thing, too. It might help you guarantee postseason if you're chasing a championship because you could sign with a team who wants to pay you even if you thought they were going to be a playoff team, like Texas or something. You thought the Rangers were going to the playoffs. You sign with them. Suddenly your team isn't good enough. You wait, get prorated. People will probably pay you a little bit more prorated, and you get to go to what is probably a contender chasing down a pennant or at least the playoff spot. Interesting thought. I don't think it says I think David Robertson is a unique player, and it would have to be somewhat of a new, unique guy, but interesting thought.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.